nome, cioè ex. Episode 3, The Master Plan. As a prelude to the conquest of space, a manned satellite, codename Orbiter X, is to be assembled by the Commonwealth Space Project far above the surface of the Earth. The first assembly crew, led by Captain Bradley, meets with disaster in high vacuum, and Bob Britton, with his co-pilot Douglas McClelland and flight engineer Hicks, take off from Woomera in a relief ship. At an altitude of 1,000 miles plus, they are attacked by an unidentified flying object. Forced to bail out, they go aboard the hostile ship. Confined in a pressurized compartment, they see nothing of the crew, and on finally landing, no indication is given of their whereabouts. Receiving instructions by intercom, Bob, Mac, and Hickey are directed through a darkened building which throbs to the sound of generators. The journey ends outside the closed door of an interrogation room.
Now look here, boys. Whatever happens, we must keep a grip on ourselves. Under no circumstances must we let these characters take over our thinking for us. Is that clear?
Yeah.
Understood, sir.
Good. We'll go in and see what we're up against. Follow me.
Oh, the light! It's blinding!
It certainly is. But look behind that spotlight at the far end of the room. You see what I mean?
Yes, there's somebody there.
And more than one. I can see a whole bunch of
them. Ugly-looking customers. Still, at least they're human.
I never doubted there'd be anything else. Well, let's start the ball rolling and see what happens.
Hello there. Who are you?
I am Commander Gelbin, deputy leader of the Unity Organization.
That's the voice we had on the ship's intercom.
Yes, he's the UFO character who brought us here.
What do you mean by the Unity Organization?
The leader is beside me here, Dr. Max Kramer. He will explain everything to you in due course.
He must be the egghead with the deadpan look on his face.
Yeah, quiet, Hickey.
Dr. Kramer, you've got a lot to answer for.
I shall do my best to satisfy you, Captain Britton.
And you can start by telling us exactly where we are, why we've been brought here, and what you know about Captain Bradley.
At this early stage of our meeting, I cannot give you the location of these headquarters. Regarding Captain Bradley, he and his co-pilot, Wilson, are safe and well.
I believe that when I see them.
You will, when we begin assembling the space station you call Orbiter X.
So that's it.
You know everything about it, of course.
Not everything. Which answers your questions as to why you're here. We need your help.
I expected something like this.
The components of the station have been fired into orbit, and you know exactly how they should be fitted together. So we hope that you will supervise the work which will be carried out by our space engineers.
You're mad if you think we're going to help you. In any case, you must see that when CSP don't get any signals from us, they'll send up more ships to find out what's happened.
I think not. We sent a message to CSP in your name, and as a result, all your ships are grounded.
Ah, so that was the WT signal we heard in the UFO.
I appreciate your feelings, Flight Engineer Hicks, but in order to understand the position, you must try to see beyond your own personal problems of the moment. They can all be put right for you.
Just like that, eh?
Yes. In due course, you may even be reunited with your family. With your wife, Susan, I believe. And your two young children, Charles and Anne.
How do you know about them?
We know a great deal that would surprise you. But let us think of the citizens of tomorrow, because this leads us to the purpose behind the organization, which we call Unity. Its object is to make the world a safer place to live in.
Isn't that what our politicians are working for?
Some may be. But the only ones who can succeed must be trained scientists.
Like yourself?
Exactly. I need hardly remind you that in your democracy, no effort is made to connect scientific qualifications with political power. As a result, you have constant tension and uncertainty.
So you're for the military state, are you?
Not at all. That arises when the scientist's rightful place of leadership is taken by the mere man of action.
This argument goes back to about 400 B.C., doesn't it, Kramer?
Ah, you remember your Plato's Republic. Yes, Captain Britain, we unitists are planning a new world government led by men of science. Dangerous nationalism will be liquidated. Resources thrown away on armaments will be spent on welfare and scientific progress. And the spirit of the new order is the basic understanding which already exists between the scientists of all countries.
Which country do you come from?
That is of no importance. Our membership is international. Many of our people continue to work in their own lands. And, as scientists and engineers, they pass on to us information of technical progress, particularly in the fields of atomic and projectile developments.
You must find that very useful.
We do. By pooling our knowledge, we are already far ahead of you in space travel. You know that for yourselves.
Yes.
There's something I'd like to ask you about this. How is it your ships haven't been spotted from the Earth?
Because they are fitted with electronic deflectors which screen them quite effectively from your radio telescopes and ground tracking stations. Very occasionally you see them as unusual patterns on your radar, but they arouse no alarm because similar patterns are produced by natural phenomena.
The interference zone we ran into in our ship, Orbiter 2, was that anything to do with you?
Yes, it was another product of our electronic department. And you understand that it will provide invaluable camouflage when you join us on the assembly of Orbiter X.
Yes. Supposing we did help you, what happens then?
You're all very qualified to take your places in our organization, particularly yourself, Captain Britton. We have a very detailed statement of your record. And now I am prepared to answer any reasonable questions on unity.
All right, here goes. You aim at a world government.
We do.
Then how are you proposing to get rid of the existing governments?
Well, each country will still have its own administration, but its responsibilities will be strictly limited to internal affairs. It will have no control over its foreign policy.
Do you really think that you could make the nations of the world knuckle down to a position like that?
No, they wouldn't wear it.
Not without some pressure, perhaps.
What sort of pressure are you thinking of?
I can best answer that by reminding you that the Second World War ended when Japan capitulated after just two small atomic bombs fell on Hiroshima and Nagasaki.
We better get this quite clear. Are you planning an atomic war?
My dear Britain, the true leader must have such a measure of scientific understanding that he is supremely aware of the relative insignificance of a few individual lives in relation to the future of the whole world.
A few lives, a man's mad.
I've had enough of this.
So have I.
We'll show him what we think of him and his unity organization.
Take your hands off.
Guard, come on now. Take them to the detention cells.
Oh, no, you don't.
Pity. Put your hands down.
What?
Take it easy.
Is that an order, Bob?
Yes, it is.
Guard, take them away.
Come along.
What?
Kelvin, we have a lot of work to do on these men.
Yes. Britain and possibly McClelland may respond, but I have doubts about Engineer Hicks.
He is probably of little value to us.
But he could be of use. In the research department?
True enough. Yes. Yes, separate him from the others and take him along.
Splendid. I'll see to it right away.
Oh, one other point. Before you do, send that chemist person to me.
Ravel?
Yes. She knew Britain when she was working in London. She might be able to help us.
You know what you're doing, Bob.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you know what's on my mind. At least we could have had a go at the blighters. Couldn't be worse off than we are now, stuck in a cell without a hope of getting away. And where do you suppose they've taken Hickey?
I don't know. But, Mac, if we'd tried to tackle those guards, we'd have been finished. They were just dying for an excuse to use their guns.
Okay, but at least we could have shown a bit of spirit and we might have got away with it. As it is, we look like a bunch
of... Calm down, Mac.
I'm going to have my say whether you like it or not.
Listen to me, you old idiot. We can't afford to be heroes. We haven't just got ourselves to think about. Somehow we've got to warn CSP about these people. Don't you realize that?
I suppose you're right.
It's a pretty frightening responsibility, and we must keep our heads. Otherwise, we'll play straight into Kramer's hands.
Okay. Okay, Bob. I'm sorry.
Guard's coming back.
Maybe we're going to be separated now.
And if we are, remember what I told you.
Sure.
I shall be here if you need me, Dr. Ravel.
Thank you.
Oh, what do you know? It's the feminine touch now, is it?
Another shock for you, Captain McClellan.
Oh, I'll say.
Not such an unpleasant one, I hope.
No. Come in.
Have you nothing to say, Captain Britton?
Yes. What are you doing here?
Do you two know one another?
Of course. Bob remembers me. Great Aravel, University College. We were students together.
Well, tell me what you're doing here.
I belong to Unity.
Unity? Do you know what it means?
Of course.
You know that Kram is preparing to start an atomic war?
That is not true.
He told us himself.
No, you're twisting his words. There may be some sacrifices, but there will be more than justified.
Sacrifices? Justified? You don't know what you're saying.
I know that unless Unity takes over, the great nations will eventually make the Earth uninhabitable.
But, woman, that's exactly what your people will do in the end.
Save your breath, Max. She's been indoctrinated.
That is not the case. I joined Unity of my own free will because my scientific training enables me to see things clearly. With your background, you can also reach the point of understanding.
You're wasting your time.
Look, Bob, the guard is listening. I must speak quickly. I've only a few moments with you. You cannot fight these people. If you try to fight them, they will do the same to you as they're doing to your engineer.
What do you mean? What are they doing to Hicks?
He has been taken to the Space Medicine Research Department. If you give in now, you may save him.
Is this a trick? Have you been told to say this?
No, I'm risking everything. You must believe me. I can say no more.
But you must.
Is everything all right, Dr. Ravel?
Yes, I'm coming. My advice to you, Captain Britton, is think carefully.
Don't worry, I will.
I am glad. That is all I ask.
Do you think this is a plant, Bob?
I wish I knew. It's extraordinary she should turn up here.
What sort of creature is she?
That's impossible to say. I only got to know her casually in London. It's a long time ago, but I remember she was on a special course from some university in Europe. She was always a dramatic type, and
oh, look. She's left her shoulder bag behind.
Give it to me. There's a gun inside it.
What?
A nice, neat little weapon. And it's loaded.
Kramer may have sent her here to tell us about Hickey, but he wouldn't have told her to leave this behind.
No, and she wouldn't have left it by accident. She does want to help us, and this was the only way.
So what do we do?
I'll tell you. Listen carefully.
We are not going to do anything unpleasant to you, Hicks. We are simply carrying out a certain program of research.
Research, you call it? All right, tell me the worst.
As you know, the normal functions of the body can be slowed down by a controlled process of cooling.
And that's what you're going to do to me, is it?
Yes.
Why? What's the idea?
Looking ahead, we envisage space flights that may last months, perhaps years. In such cases, a form of suspended animation based on the cooling principle would relieve the crews of all their discomforts. They would put themselves into this condition soon after takeoff, and a time mechanism would, as it were, bring them back to life as their ship approaches its objective.
But it isn't human. You can't do this.
Just relax, my friend. I am turning up the cooling control.
Guard's coming this way, Bob.
You know what to do.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give him a shot.
Hello there. Hello, guard.
What is it?
Our lady visitor left something behind.
Oh, very well.
Here it is.
All right, I will take it. What?
Keep quiet and don't move. Otherwise, I shall use this gun. It's something your smart friends overlooked when they brought us here. Right, get busy on him, Mac. Gag first.
Okay.
You can't get away!
Apply his hands.
Good. Everything according to plan so far.
You wanted action, now you're getting it. Is that gag secure?
Yeah.
Take a turn of this cord around his feet.
Right.
We'll make him fast. The ring in the wall. Come on. We don't want him hammering at the door after we've gone.
We certainly don't. I think he's safe now.
Fine. Let's get away from here.
I'm right with you, man.
Don't forget to lock up.
Okay.
And bring the key with you.
Won't get out of there in a hurry.
Yes, I hope not. Well, now to find Hickey. We didn't pass the medical department when they brought us here, so we'll try the other direction. Come on.
Do you think we'll ever find our way out of this place?
If we don't, we'll sabotage everything we can lay our hands on.
Yeah, they must have a radio center somewhere.
Yes, that's the thought. If we could get in touch with Woomera.
Listen. Somebody's coming.
Through this door, quickly. There's a key in it.
Right. Nobody's here. It's quite dark.
Good. Here you go.
Do you think they heard us?
No, but we'd better hang on for half a minute until they get well away.
Right, Bob.
Mac, there's somebody else in here. See if you can find a light switch. There might be one just beside the door.
Yeah, I've got it. Oh, it's Bradley.
Yes.
So we found him.
There's something wrong here. Turn back that cover.
Yeah. His leg's in plaster.
Brad, wake up.
Must have given him a shot or something.
Yes, but we've got to rouse him. Brad, it's Bob and Mac. Wake up. Brad, open your eyes.
Who's that?
Look at me.
Bob. I must be dreaming.
Not you, no.
What's happened? Where am I?
Shh, gently does it. You mustn't make too much noise.
You're here too, Mac.
Yeah, laddie. Just take it easy.
Oh, my leg. What's wrong with it?
It seems to be broken, old son. Put it in plaster.
They? Oh, yes, I remember. I woke up on an operating table under a bright light.
What happened before then?
We were aboard the ship, Orbiter 1.
Yes, that's right. You were attacked. We got bits of your radio message at CSP headquarters.
Yes. Carter, the engineer, was killed. After a bit, Wilson and I went out to try and locate a fracture that was letting the air out of the cabin. It was somewhere behind the paneling. We couldn't find it from inside. As soon as we went through the outer hatch, they got us. They must have been waiting for us on the hull. We couldn't believe it. We were too shocked to fight back. They got us just like that.
Wow. How'd you break your leg?
I don't remember.
You've seen Kramer and his stooge, Gelbin?
I've seen them.
They give you all this propaganda stuff about unity?
Yes, I've had it.
What'd you say to them?
Nothing much.
You know they're prepared to launch atomic missiles on various cities all over the world.
I gather that was going to be their way of taking over the government.
Oh, Brad, it's good to see you, but do you know what's happened to Wilson?
Haven't they told you?
They said he was alive and well.
They're lying. He was dead when they got him back to their ship after we left Orbiter 1.
No.
His oxygen tap had been turned off.
Oh, poor devil.
How did you get here, Bob?
Well, it's no time to go into details. It's much the same story as yours. But these people have taken Hickey to the medical department, and we've got to find him. Now, Brad, you've been there. Can you remember where it is?
Let me think. When I came out, there was a lift facing the door. They wheeled me in. We came down, not very far. Only one floor, I think.
Oh, think hard. Was it one floor, or could it have been two?
No, I'm sure it was one.
Good man. Mac, we better get cracking.
Okay.
We'll come back for you later, Brad.
No, don't worry about me, Bob. I can't move anyway. You'll never get away from here if you try to take me with you.
We're certainly not going to leave you here, chum.
Don't be an idiot, Bob. I can kid these people along. You've got a job to do. You must get out and tell everybody what's going on here.
Where is here? Do you know?
No. Do you?
We haven't a clue yet.
Well, you'd better get cracking. Find out.
All right, old man, we will. And we won't forget you.
I'll be here.
Open the door, Mac. All clear outside?
Yes, all clear. Cheer-o, Brad. All the best.
You're going to be okay, Brad. Just hold on.
I will. And for goodness sake, close that door behind you. The draft's killing me. Good luck.
Good luck, old boy.
That's hell leaving him like that.
Yes. But we'll be back.
Look, Bob. There's the lift.
Good. Right, up one floor and through the door facing us. Sounds like money for old rope.
And the lift's up there now.
Yeah, we'll take the stairs. Quickly, while there's no one about. Stop just before we get to the top. We don't want to run straight into the guards. Right, that must be our door over there. Right, careful crossing the passage.
Okay.
Good. I'll open the door.
Our friend Gilpin will be back shortly, Hicks. Until then, I will look after you.
I'll bet you will, Kramer.
Naturally, I'm going
Don't move, Kramer!
What's this?
You close the door, Mac. Oh, Mac, by all that's wonderful.
Hickey, what are they doing to you?
Trying to turn me into a sort of Rip Van Winkle on ice. I'll tell you all about it later if you'll turn off that cooling switch and undo these straps.
Okay, I'll see to it.
Kramer, keep still. No tricks.
How did you get here? And where did you find that gun?
Never mind that.
We found Bradley Hickey.
You have?
Yeah, he wouldn't come with us. He's got a broken leg. He said it'd slow us up.
Oh, it's typical of him. What about Wilson?
He's dead.
What?
No time to talk now, Hickey. Can you move?
Yes, I'll soon loosen up.
Good. We've got to get out of here quickly and away.
I've got it. The test flight.
What? What are you talking about?
Kramer was just going to take up a new ship. He sent Gelbin to make the arrangements. It must be all set for launching. We might use it ourselves.
What an idea!
Kramer, is the ship ready for launching?
Yes.
Is it similar to the one that brought us here?
It's a sister ship.
Well, that means it's easily maneuverable and it can carry all of us. Where is it now? Where is it?
It should be on the launching platform.
And you were going to fly it yourself, were you?
I was.
Then we're not going to disappoint you. Start walking.
I refuse to move from here.
In that case, we have no further use for you. Mac, pass over one of those rubber cushions. It'll help to muffle the sound of the shot.
Thanks.
I'll wrap it around the gun like this. Now then.
Very well, Britton. You win for the moment.
Then take us to the ship. I'm putting the gun in my pocket, but I'm keeping you covered. If any of your staff ask any questions, we're your latest converts. You understand?
Yes, I quite understand.
And to avoid accidents, you'd be wise to take us out by the quietest route. Get moving.
Bob,
yeah?
Do you notice the carved stonework in these passages?
Yes, what about it?
Oh, I've seen something like this before, but I can't just place it.
You may be more interested in this pass door.
Why? Where does it lead?
Straight out to the launching platform.
Then open up, but watch your step. Is he going to close his helmet and turn on his oxygen?
No, he's not.
Ah, daylight! And fresh air. So we are on the Earth.
If you thought you were on some remote planet, you have only your imagination to blame.
Don't worry. We had a good idea where we were right from the start.
Kramer, is that the new ship ahead of us?
It is.
Well, quite a sight, isn't she?
Yes. She seems to be all lined up for action. Who's this coming towards us?
One of the engineers by the look of it. Watch out.
Are you going aboard, Doctor?
Yes. These officers are our newly joined specialists. So you may tell your people to stand down for a moment. I shall call you when I want you.
Very good, sir.
It's all too easy. There's a catch somewhere.
Yeah, that's what I think. The ground staff don't seem to be taking much notice of us.
Keep your eye on them anyway.
Right, Kramer. We're going aboard.
I strongly advise you to change your mind, Britton.
Why? What are you getting at?
Well, this ship should have a final check before takeoff.
Never mind. We'll skip that. Anything else?
No, nothing else. But remember my warning.
Okay, in we go, chaps. All
aboard.
All right, Bob.
Right. You can close the hatch now, Kramer.
Oh, what a setup. It's just like the bridge on a liner.
Hardly as large, but adequate.
The controls look a bit different from these we're used to. Now, let me see.
It would be unwise to touch anything.
All right, get busy on the intercom and tell your control people to prepare for the countdown. But no tricks.
The ship is quite independent of ground control. I have only to press this button to sound the warning on the launching platform and open the compressors.
Then go ahead. Now.
As you wish.
Get into your contour seats and fasten your strap, Higgy. You too, Mac.
Okay. Stand by for takeoff. 10 seconds to go. What are your instructions, Captain Britton?
You'll turn into orbit when we reach an altitude of 300 miles. We'll work out our course after that.
We're lifting!
What's your controls, Kramer?
It is not necessary. The ship is operated by an automatic pilot, which is preset on a fixed course. There is no need to touch the controls until we land.
Oh, yes, there is. Our destination is Boomera.
That is where you are wrong, Captain Britton. Our destination is the moon.
So ends the third episode of Orbiter X, an adventure in the conquest of space by B.D. Chapman. It was produced for the BBC by Charles Maxwell.